Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church this fifth Sunday of Epiphany, after Epiphany, and on this beautiful sunny day. It's nice. It's supposed to get up to like 50 today. I'm pretty excited about that. shorts weather. So I have a few announcements for you. Lent is almost here. Lent is almost here. And Ash Wednesday on Valentine's Day this year. So good for you. Worship will be at 7 p.m. On Ash Wednesday here at Glenshaw Valley. But if that interferes with doting on your loved ones, I will be distributing ashes to go at Glenshaw Presbyterian Church up the street from 12 to 1 and 5 to 6 with Reverend Emily Cooper. There will be printed Lenten devotionals available in the back next Sunday. The way that they were given to me, it doesn't do well on virtual, like electronic submission. So if you do prefer an electronic devotional for Lent, let me know and I have other options available for you. You just won't be doing the same thing as everybody else. You know, some people like that. So that also means that next week at Sunday school, adult Sunday school, we will be starting a Lenten series. We'll be using the book A Lent in Plain Sight. It looks like a lot of fun. So come join us, 9:30. And let's see, also next week is the ordination and installation of officers, just for the fun of it. And it's also the Superb Owl, or the Super Bowl, I think some of you call it. I promise we'll be out of here well before kickoff at 6. There will be a deacons meeting on Tuesday at 11 o'clock, and session will also meet after worship next Sunday. After worship. So, I know there's something I'm forgetting. Somebody has something. No? Okay, looks good. I think that means that we can prepare our hearts and minds. Oh.
I'm sorry. I meant to put in a prayer request. Karen and Jay Hartz used to be members of Glenshaw Valley, and they had a great granddaughter born, and she was born with a brain tumor. And she's only 2 weeks old, and she's already undergone a full course of chemo.
Okay.
And they're asking for continued prayer for her. Her name is Fiona.
Okay.
And little Fiona's just playing in the house. So I told her that she had a great.
Okay. Okay. With that, let us gather our hearts and minds and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. In worship, we tell a story of unfettered love that changed the world. In worship, we tell a story of how we live and how we long to live. In worship, we tell a story because we are forgetful people, so we may remember who we are. May we release the narratives that trap us. May we reimagine this world and see what God sees. And may we work towards restoration. It's all that easy, and it's all that hard. Let us worship Holy God. Let us rise in body or spirit to join in our opening hymn, I Love to Tell the Story.
Thank you.
trusting in divine mercy, we confess our faults before God and one another by saying, Holy God, to restore is to bring back. Today we bring our hearts back to you, our thoughts back to love, and our prayers back to peace. We try to stay in this place, but we confess it's never been that easy for us. We flirt with reconciliation and then back away. We come face to face with an opportunity for justice, but get scared. We are offered an opportunity to rewrite our story, but we lose our way. Bring us back to this moment. Bring us back to your story, where brothers extend grace to one another, and even the one who denied it was forgiven. Bring us back. Restore us. Forgive us. Gratefully, we pray. Siblings, believe in the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and restored. Let us gather together and profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I will believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. And please be seated for our choir's anthem.
With my whole heart, I will give thanks to God. With my
Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and one another. Almighty God, we await you in prayer, bowing our heads before you, humbly seeking your presence, your help, your hope. You taught us how to pray not only for ourselves, but for people everywhere. Hear us now as we pray for others in the name of Jesus Christ. Inspire the whole church to bear witness to Christ's power and love. May we embody your triune unity and work together for peace. Lead all nations in the way of justice. Direct those who govern to seek paths of diplomacy and peace, to calm the troubled waters of conflict, to respect the dignity of all life, and to defend oppressed people. Awaken all people to the damage we have inflicted upon earth. Instill in us a reverence for your creation that we may preserve its delicate balance for all coming generations. Comfort and relieve, O God, all those who are experiencing trouble, sorrow, poverty, sickness, grief. We especially pray for baby Fiona. We pray for Bev Ruby, who is still at Passavant. And we pray for Mark Harris as he continues to recover from gallbladder surgery at home. Heal these souls in body, mind, or circumstance, renewing them by your grace, helping them face their challenges with strength of faith. We lift these prayers to you, gracious God, confident that you hear us and know even the prayers we are too afraid to pray. Hear us now as we join our hearts and voices to pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, Son of God, whose heart is peace. Seated. So this is the last week of our stewardship series, and like I've asked elders before, Cliff Huff is going to tell you a little bit about why he gives and serves in the church.
Thanks, Kristen. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk with you today about stewardship and giving in our church. I've been a member of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church approaching 10,000 days, or 27 years. I love, cherish, and am very thankful of our small church. My stewardship journey began years ago simply as being asked to take up collection. Be careful of that. And then it evolved and grew over time from there. I served on session for many years and have been the honor of being your clerk of session for many years as well. My scope of service has extended beyond our small but mighty church to the local Pittsburgh Presbytery, serving on the Pittsburgh Presbytery Executive Committee for over 6 years. It was eye-opening to see the reach and scope of our local presbytery, serving over 130 local churches, and a wide range of topics discussed and dealt with there. It was rewarding to become familiar with and work with others who serve our Pittsburgh region. Furthermore, I had the honor of serving you at the National 225th General Assembly in Louisville, Kentucky in 2022, along with 500 other plus commissioners from around the U.S. I witnessed how decisions and recommendations are made at the national level. Thankfully, it's not sausage making, but a deliberate and thoughtful process, very much like it is in our local session. I was participating in the Health and Safety and Benefits Committee on June 22, 2022, when it was announced that the Supreme Court had overturned Roe v. Wade. On that very day, my committee voted twice on items that reaffirm the Presbyterian Church USA's stand on choice and reproductive justice. Stewardship is an act of taking care of what God has entrusted us. It's not only about money, but about our time, talents, gifts, and resources. Stewardship is a way of living that reflects our gratitude to God for His grace and generosity. Stewardship is also a way of serving God and His kingdom by using what He has given us for His glory and the benefit of others. Giving is one of the expressions of stewardship. Giving is a response to God's love and demonstration of our faith and trust in Him. Giving is not a duty or a burden, but a joy and a privilege. Giving is not a matter of how much we have, but how much we're willing to share. Giving is not a competition or a comparison, but a personal and spiritual decision. I do want to recognize and thank all the members of the church who have and do generously give of their time and talents. Many of you serve after being asked, and others serve without being asked because it needs to be done. This ranges from serving in the choir, conducting Bible studies, teaching youth, picking up the offering, counting the offering after worship, updating the outside church sign, and being on the nominating committee. Serving on boards like the deacons in session, and serving as treasurers, cleaning up inside and outside the church, taking care of the flowers and getting rid of the weeds around the church, performing essential repairs and maintenance around the church, and the list goes on and on. So when approached about serving in our church, please give it serious consideration and prayer. Hopefully, your response will be yes. As a small Presbyterian church, we have the unique opportunity and responsibility to practice stewardship and giving. We are a family of faith and need each other's support and participation. We are a community of mission, and we have a vision and a purpose to fulfill. We're part of the larger body of Christ, and we have a role and a contribution to make. So I'd like to invite you and join me in being faithful stewards and generous givers. Let us pray and ask God to guide us and bless us with this endeavor. Let us commit and dedicate ourselves and for our offerings to Him. Let us celebrate and rejoice in abundance and of the grace that He has bestowed upon us. And let us witness and testify to the world of His goodness and glory. Thank you.
Thank you, Cliff. There are so many people who do so many things, and there are still so many things that need to be done all over the place. So I'm so thankful for all of you. With that, let us prepare our offering. This world is not what God intended it to be. When we look around, we know we have lost our way. So today, we bring our hearts, minds, and money back to God in hopes that it will sow goodness. Restoring God, the gifts we give today is for the work of restoration, for you want us to be a restoration people. Use these gifts for your hurting world and restore us to you. Amen. So I promised that today that we would pray over our pledge cards and as we end the stewardship season. So we do have the pledge cards here, and thank you so much to Carol for keeping everything in order and counting everything and just helping all of us out. I appreciate it. Gracious and loving God, giver of all that is good and true and beautiful and life-giving, these cards represent our sweat. They represent our lives. They represent our dreams. The pledges which we make on them are but tokens of the awesome gifts that have been given to us. And they are pledged in thanksgiving for all we have received, for all we have been inspired to be, for all we are challenged to become in this place. May these cards be the first fruits of all we have and not what we have left over, so that we may live out as closely as possible how you give to us. May we see them as our offering to you, sacred, holy, yet earthly, filled with possibilities. May we hold this image in our hearts and minds so as that as we watch our offerings each week come to your table, we can see our very selves being part of this offering. It is us on the table, living sacrifices to you. Amen. Did I give you a long enough one?
Yeah. Gave me some words, too. Mm-hmm. Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is Genesis 33, 1 through 17. Now Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two maids. He put the maids with their children in front, when Leah and her children and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went on ahead of them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. When Esau looked up and saw the women and children, he said, "Who are these with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God had graciously given your servant." Then the maids drew near, they and their children, and bowed down. Leah likewise and her children drew near and bowed down. And finally Joseph and Rachel drew near, and they bowed down. Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company that I met? Jacob answered, "To find favor with my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." Jacob said, "No, please. If I find favor with you, then accept my present from my hand. For truly, to see your face is like seeing the face of God, since you have received me with such favor. Please accept my gift that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have everything I want." So he urged him, and he took it. Then Esau said, "Let us journey on our way, and I will go alongside you." But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are frail, and that the flocks and herds which are nursing are a care to me. And if they are overdriven for one day, all the flocks will die. Let my Lord pass on ahead of his servant, and I will lead on slowly, according to the pace of the cattle that are before me, and according to the pace of the children, until I come to my Lord in Seir." So Esau said, "Let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But he said, "Why should my Lord be so kind to me?" So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. But Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built himself a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the place is called Succoth.
Please pray with me. God of light, we cannot do the work of remembering, releasing, reimagining, or restoring without your word. We need you like the earth needs rain and a sailboat needs wind. Grant us the clarity needed to hear your word anew. Amen. So today's scripture seems like a bit of a stretch for the end of our stewardship series. What does Jacob and Esau meeting up have to do with money? It doesn't seem like a whole lot. I could stretch it, and I could focus on how much money Jacob spent on all of the gifts that he presented, how that's some sort of metaphor for how we're supposed to approach the church or God or whatever. But I hope that one thing that you've noticed throughout this time is that each message of the stewardship series wasn't totally about money. Money is important because it's just the society that we live in. But we've also talked about remembering, releasing, reimagining. And there's a little bit about money associated with all of those things, but the primary message has been about being faithful, being grateful, being joyful. So today we're talking about restoration. What does it look like to restore? Practicing faithful stewardship heals us as individuals and helps us restore right relationships. Not just right relationships with God, but with other people. And this encounter between Jacob and Esau is an excellent example of an absolutely surprising reconciliation, followed by a literal lifetime of strife and years of estrangement. And I know this story requires a good bit of history to shed light on the complexities that we've seen here and the baggage within Esau and Jacob's relationship. I mean, they're the difficulties in their relationship, like if you think that you have family drama, the difficulties between Esau and Jacob take up 9 chapters in Genesis. And I thought about adding all of those into the reading today, but I figured you guys didn't want to be here for 2 hours. Even though it's not Super Bowl Sunday. There are a lot of characters in the Old Testament, and they're really easy to confuse. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of a recap. Jacob and Esau are twin sons of Isaac, the son of Abraham, and Rebekah. And their competition with one another started even before they were born. In the womb, they wrestled. And they raced to see who would be the firstborn. Esau won that race by a heel. And even though you're not supposed to have a favorite child, I know no one here has a favorite child. I know I do not have any favorite parishioners. Everybody's equal. There was no hiding that Esau was Isaac's favorite. Esau was this burly, outdoorsy type. I've always pictured him looking a little bit like a lumberjack. He's wearing a flannel shirt and suspenders, some hiking boots, this big, scruffy red beard. Now, Jacob was the complete opposite. We could call him a bit of a mama's boy. Or maybe you've heard of indoor children. He clung to Rebekah, and she held on to him. I picture Isaac as, or I picture Jacob as somewhat of like, quite kind of like a cross between a bookworm and a celebrity chef. You know, he looks good, super smart, can do some pretty cool things. It's obvious he could cook, by the way, because he did swindle Esau out of his birthright for a bowl of stew. But that birthright wasn't enough for Jacob or Rebekah. And they worked together to trick Isaac into giving Jacob a blessing before his death. And that blessing was meant for Esau. So yeah, if you have some family drama, know that this sort of thing happens all over the world and has been happening throughout history. When Esau finds out that Jacob tricked Isaac into giving him a blessing, Esau is livid, absolutely livid. And he swears he's going to, like, once Isaac dies, once their dad dies, he's going to kill Jacob. And not like metaphorically. And Jacob is rightfully fearful. And he flees to be with his uncle in Haran. And there he marries Leah and Rachel. And he has lots and lots of kids. So those are basically the highlights. But what's the really important thing to know here is that Jacob has been no contact with his brother Esau since he left. And after a while, Jacob has a dream that he's supposed to go back home. That's a truly frightening prospect. Right there. For all he knows, Esau is still stewing over all the ways Jacob disrupted his life and is still avowing vengeance. But Jacob knows he's got to face the music. He must speak to his brother. He must ask for forgiveness. So he sends messengers to his brother. Messengers tell Esau that Jacob is coming this way, and Esau responds that he'll meet him halfway. He'll meet he'll meet Jacob halfway. They're coming. Oh, and Esau's also bringing 400 men with him. Oh. So Jacob sends out three waves of progressively more expensive gifts in an attempt to appease Esau. And when they finally see each other, Esau breaks into a sprint and runs to Jacob. And by the way, that's a very unmanly thing to do. Running was not a thing that they did. But Esau runs to Jacob and wraps his arms around him, giving him a big bear hug, tears streaming down his face. He kisses him as he weeps. Huh. Maybe Esau isn't looking for vengeance like Jacob thought. And Esau asks, "Bro, what's up with all the gifts?" And Jacob explains that he was trying to smooth things over. It was his way of apologizing. And if he's being truly honest, it was an attempt to sort of bribe Esau into forgiveness. And Esau's like, "Dude, that's not how forgiveness works. You're my brother. Besides, I've done all right. Look, I got these 400 men with me." Jacob comes up with a new reason for the gifts: gratitude. He's experienced grace. The grace of God within his brother. The gifts aren't just in gratitude for Esau's and for Esau's forgiveness, but also for God and the grace that God has given him. Jacob has been so bountifully blessed by God that he wants to share it. Esau ultimately accepts and he offers to accompany Jacob the rest of the way home. Jacob politely declines. He's not looking for any sort of family merger. Even though there is reconciliation here, even though there is some restoration, their relationship hasn't magically transformed by this long, drawn-out encounter. After this, the only time that Jacob and Esau see each other again is at their father's funeral. So ultimately, I do see this story of Jacob and Esau as an example of stewardship. Stewardship calls for an examination of our hearts as we look into our individual and collective experiences, our fears, our desires, our passions. And how do those experiences relate with our money and one another? The life that we live with God and the life that we live with other human beings are two sides of the same coin. They affect each other in deep and profound ways. Life with God cannot be lived in isolation from others without harming both relationships. And life with other people cannot truly be lived out in isolation from God. At least, not if we're to be what the Creator intended us to be. So good stewardship practices, those good stewardship practices restore healthy relationships between people in the earth and people in God. When we give out of the abundance of our blessings, lives are transformed. And the broken world starts to heal. And it's not just the lives of those on the receiving end. because we often find that through the giving of ourselves, we are being reconciled to God as well. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our communion hymn, Eat This Bread.
United in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time that you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving grace of the risen Lord until he comes. The gifts of God, the people of God. Amen.
Thank you.
Holy God, we're not sure what restoration for this world will look like, but we're pretty sure it'll feel like this. A meal where all are fed, a place where all are welcomed, and a table with a seat saved for each and every one of us. Remind us of this truth in the coming day and continue to restore all of us to you. Gratefully we pray. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, "The Lord Now Sends Us Forth." Before we leave and go back into the world, let me offer a blessing and a charge. The stewardship season, we have been asked to remember, release, reimagine, and restore. Remember that giving of yourself, your time, and your money is a joyful act of gratitude. Therefore, may God, the Creator, the Sustainer, and the Redeemer continually show their love to you and bring you peace this day and all days. Amen.